FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, January 9th, 2018. I assume if you're hearing the sound of my voice, then you successfully made it through the New Year's. You made it through 2017 somewhat intact. At least I think you did. I know I did somewhat intact. And look, we're watching the gold markets now. Gold's done okay. Past 2 days has showed a little bit of weakness, but nothing really to be overly concerned about. At least I don't think so. Well, the person you're about to hear from knows a lot more on the topic than do I. And by no means am I ignorant. It's just that he knows so much more. It's in his blood. It's that simple. And I'm talking about Jeff Clark. You are a senior precious metals analyst at goldsilver.com. Hey, housekeeping first. Be part of the show. Ask Jeff questions. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed @kerrylutz. So where is gold heading? Recent article that we reviewed seems to think that it's going nothing but up. But first of all, Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Kerry, it's great to be back with you again. We've talked a lot over the years, so I'm really happy to be back talking to your audience again. So, yeah, I've been tracking the gold market, of course, as an analyst for many years. And what I've noticed recently is that there's a lot of developments that are happening that aren't really making mainstream headlines that really suggest that the market is not only strong, but is really setting up for something big. And I've been documenting this for several months now. And my most recent article was these three facts show gold is set to surge in 2018. And I tried to kind of summarize why I felt that the gold market is setting up for something big. We don't know about the timing and all that, but the point is that gold is stronger than many people are acknowledging, especially in the mainstream media. One is the kind of base and the price action that we've seen in gold. And you'll see in the article, I say, let's play a guessing game. So what I'll do, Kerry, is I'm going to give you an economic and market scenario. Uh-oh. And you tell me, all right, here we go, if gold would rise or fall in this environment. Okay, so you have soaring stock markets. In fact, the Dow made, I don't know if you know this, but the Dow made 71 new highs last year alone.
I know. Yes, I did know that, in fact. It's amazing.
It's amazing. That's more than one a week. Then you had raging, you know, crypto prices, including Bitcoin, that were up, what, 20-fold last year on average?
Yeah, 1,345%, according to Mickey Fulp and I, tracking from the beginning to the end. And it was up 2,000% for a very short period of time, but then retraced.
Right. And you had some cryptos that were up even more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And then on top of that, you have real estate values that are now, according to the Case-Shiller index, are higher than they were during the 2006 bubble. You have rising interest rates, which, of course, the traditional wisdom is that higher interest rates are bad for gold. There are clear exceptions to that, but you have rising interest rate environment, and you have the promises of, what, three more, I think the Fed has said, for 2018. You have higher GDP, you have falling unemployment, you have higher wages, and last but not least, you had falling gold bullion sales. They were so low last year that they were at a 10-year low, the demand for gold coins and bars on the retail side. Mm-hmm. So there's your scenario. There's your environment. Now, would the gold price normally rise or fall in that environment? Well, at a minimum, the gold price would be weak, if not fall substantially. That's the exact opposite environment of what gold needs to do well. And yet, what did it do? It was up over 12% last year.
Yeah.
So why is that? That begs the question, why did gold rise with all those headwinds last year when it should have fallen? Why did it rise? And part of the answer is the U.S. dollar. The dollar and gold quote, as I think your audience well knows, are inversely correlated. So one rise, the other tends to fall. But I think there's a bigger thing going on. It shows that this is not the kind of behavior on the part of investors and markets, the gold markets, that shows a positive or confident sign in, you know, economies and markets and central bankers and things like that. I think it's a sign that people are still nervous the world over. It's not just a U.S. thing. U.S. is only 9% of the gold market. So I think it points out that there's something gelling in the gold markets. It's building a base. It should not have been up last year. It should have been down significantly last year, but it was up. That's a clue. And that's a clue for us that we need to be prepared that something is coming, either a reversal in these other markets or, you know, some type of economic issue or whatever. I mean, the list goes on, right? So
yeah, that's for sure. Well, there's all these anomalies, but I'm going to let you finish your three reasons, and then I'm going to give you four or five others that I see.
Sure.
From my
right,
not as expert view as yours. But look, you've been doing this. You grew up in this business. I only wish I had grown up in it because I would have gotten into a lot less trouble if I was out panning for gold rather than panning for whatever I was out panning for, you know?
But right.
Not much mining in New Jersey.
Yeah, I have some fun stories there about my dad. He won some gold panning contests, and it was really fun. We owned a lot of gold mining claims, and he's older now. He's really not physically able to get out and move around, so we have let those claims go. But there's some fun stories that we can get into for another show.
Well, I'm gonna have you back, and I want to like really talk about like what it's like to grow up with people who are really into the space, into gold and into precious metals. And, you know, like my favorite non-reality TV show, of course, is Gold Rush, you know, even though it's totally fictitious. Nobody can make money mining for gold the way that they're mining for it. It just can't be done. But the idea, you know, of the guy who brings back a barge from up in the Yukon someplace, and he starts barging for gold in Canada is really quite entertaining, I gotta tell you.
It is entertaining, but there's a difference between gold panning, you know, small placer type mining and mechanized mining. And they're caught in between those two things, even though they're using a bulldozer and all that stuff. It's not, you know, mechanized mining that's going to really be economical. So, but my second reason is I think what Mike Maloney, who I'm working with at Gold Silver now, has dubbed the everything bubble. Stocks are in a bubble, bonds are in a bubble, real estate's in a bubble, and now cryptos are in a bubble. So something's got to give there. These things don't last forever. There's numerous kinds of, you know, pieces of data that point to how all of those things are at levels that just really aren't sustainable. Even if the stock market keeps going, you know, if it keeps going, what I'm going to start to think is that inflation's going to pick up. And of course, what better inflation hedge do you have out there than gold? But those things are due for some type of correction or outright crash. So, and of course, gold is inversely correlated to those things. It is a hedge against those things. So the everything bubble, something's got to give there. And let's just hope they don't all pop at once, because if they do, it could be pretty ugly. And we don't, you know, we want to live in the world. We don't want everything to, you know, blow up on us. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, inflation generally doesn't pick up till banks start loaning, because then you get the velocity of money picking up. And I think over maybe this maybe somewhat premature or foolhardy optimism that has accompanied Trump into office, plus the fact that these banks are getting a major, major tax cut, what are they going to do with that money? Are they just going to keeping it on deposit with the Fed and getting their 25 basis points? Or are they going to start to loan? And, you know, when banks start in the lending cycle, they're quite reckless about it.
They are. And then you have wages, too. So that's one side side of the inflation coin. I think the other side is wages. And if wages start moving up, that's when inflation could really kick in. And of course, you had the tax bill there at the end of the year. And all of a sudden, all these companies, without even being asked, are offering, you know, wage increases and bonuses and stuff like that. And they had some, you know, tax reasons for doing that. But still, it could kickstart a, you know, some type of a wage increase, which could be, you know, what really ignites some type of inflation. So, and then the third issue is, you know, as I think all of us gold bugs know, the price has really been, even though it was up last year, it's been kind of range bound. It's been kind of flat. Even in 2016, it was up, and then it's just been flat ever since. And so what's going on there in the technical picture? And I'm not really a technical analyst, so I like to, you know, turn to people that are really good at that. And we found someone when I was over at Casey Research that, you know, has a multi-million dollar brokerage account from trading on technical analysis. So he's very worth listening to. And, you know, he pretty much confirmed, sending his charts to me and things like that, that gold is still coiling. You may view it as flat, but it's actually a coiling type of pattern that's taking place. And the more and more this squeezes, the bigger and the bigger the breakout is going to be when it eventually does come. And the longer this coiling goes on, the bigger the breakout's going to be. So you have a lot of energy building, he calls it, in the technical charts for gold right now. So when it does break out, it could really be something. In fact, he says that when it does break out, we're already at a point where we would see new highs. So you're talking, you know, $2,000 gold and above, in his opinion, when this does break out. So you add those things up and lots more reasons. There was actually like 20, and I had to narrow it down so I could get it into an article. But I'm sure some of the same ones that you are going to point out.
Yeah, well, first I'd point out that the gold to platinum ratio, platinum historically always sold for more than gold. There's a heck of a lot less platinum in the world, and it's an industrial metal, is, you know, it's trading at like 90% or less of the, I don't have the ratio in front of me, maybe it was 78% the last time I looked at it, of the ounce of platinum's trading way less than an ounce of gold. That's an anomalous condition that really should not be there. Then when we look at numismatic bullion coins, you know, versus bullion coins, we see that the premium for, you know, the lesser numismatic coins has evaporated compared to bullion coins. So you can buy a numismatic coin for almost the exact same price that you can buy a bullion coin. And that has never happened to my knowledge, or if it has, it's so brief. And then you look at the premiums on what we would kind of refer to as junk silver. They have just disappeared. And then when then we look at the gold to silver ratio at 77, 78, you know, to one. And then we look at the fact that palladium is, you know, I don't even remember because it changes daily, but it's trading at such a premium to platinum, which is a superior catalyst in a lot of cars. And you got to shake your head, Jeff, and say, does markets somehow are not functioning, or they're telling us something that most people don't get or don't want to get?
I think this lull in volatility in both the stock market and in the gold market really points to some type of breakout at some point. The longer this goes on, the bigger the breakout's going to be. And you're absolutely right about premiums. I hadn't even thought about that, but I even wrote an article about that at the end of 2017, pointing out just how low premiums on gold were. They're at multi-decade lows. So, you know, I've had some people write and say, well, hey, if there's a crash and gold goes down, you know, I could get a better price then. I said, well, don't be so sure of that. Not only are premiums at multi-decade lows now, but remember what happened in 2008, 2009, when we all tried to buy gold when the price plummeted, you know, the premiums skyrocketed and people did not save that much money. So if silver falls to 10 bucks, but the the premium is $5, $6, $7, $8, we are right back to where we are now. So I would not wait thinking that there might be a crash in gold and silver because if there is, premiums are going to shoot up. And that really points to how undervalued gold and silver are right now. You know, not only are their prices down, what, one third and two thirds from their 2011 highs, but you have the premiums on products at decade lows. So it really does point to just how undervalued gold and silver are right now.
Hey, and not to mention, we didn't even talk about the, let's just charitably call it the precarious political situation, both in the United States and around the world. And where is that going to leave us? You know, all these things converging for a perfect storm.
That's right. Geopolitical issues are a definite concern. If there's outright war, then we're at $2,000 gold, if not overnight, pretty darn quick. So let's hope that's not the reason behind the gold price rise. But you look at any period of war and the gold price responds definitely to those type of environments. But it's usually, you know what it's going to be. It's probably going to be some black swan, some issue that we're all not talking about. You know, I'm talking about the bubbles in markets and you know, things like that and the possibility of inflation. But it's usually something that nobody's really thinking about or talking about that comes out of the blue, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there could be some kind of black swan that catches us all off guard, you know, and shoots the gold price up. So the bottom line for me is that I just see numerous elevated financial risks in the market right now, just across the spectrum. Doesn't matter the asset class, the market, the economy, whatever. I see numerous risks that force me to continue to denominate a significant portion of my wealth in physical metal instead of currency. That's the bottom line for me.
Yeah.
There's too many risks out there right now to not be overweight at this point in history on gold and silver. It's a time to sell overpriced assets and buy undervalued gold and silver. It's just like, you know, buy low, sell high. Selling high, that would be, you know, cryptos and stock markets right now. And buying low would be gold and silver. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, it always, in times like this where you have such elevated valuations, be they justified or not, because that's what the market thinks. But I'm always reminded of Bernard Baruch's retort when somebody asked him, well, why did you sell so soon? And he said, you know, I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10%.
Right.
And this is a perfect example of that. So how much gold you could buy, whether you can buy it or not, physical. And then if you've got additional funds, the resource stocks definitely warrant a look. There's so many good stocks with, you know, who are going to be producers. One of the amazing things, Jeff, is that this round of stocks that are out there, a lot of them are going to rapidly go into production once they get their permits. You know, they don't have big permitting environmental issues because they're going back to old mines and kind of digging stuff up there. And I just see a lot of companies that can, with the second that price really goes up and it looks like it's going to stick, they're going to be in production 6 months to a year thereafter.
Right. That's a very good point. There are a lot of mining companies out there that have been, you know, maybe not dormant, but they've been preparing for a price rise and simply just accumulating assets, developing them, getting ready to put them in production once the price is not just higher, but sustainably higher. And the good thing about all this is that a lot of these companies are in much better financial shape now. They're better prepared this time around. Remember, a lot of these companies got bloated back in, you know, 2010, 11, 12, right in that period right there. You know, they went into way too much debt, issued too many shares, got financially unhealthy. And now a lot of these companies, not all of them, but a lot of them are in much better financial shape. So they'll be better poised to, you know, benefit from the next rise in the gold market. So it's going to be very exciting. And I do like that. That mining company that is poised for production, that's where I've seen some of my better profits, is the company that announces a construction decision and a year later goes into production. The build up, that year of building up to first pour, that's a really good time that you can, you know, traditionally make a lot of profit on a company because the stock tends to rise in anticipation of all the excitement. So those developers are a good one. one to look at.
Yeah, and so many of these companies have cut their costs to the bone to survive the past 6 years. So now the leverage that they're going to get when they actually do start producing is going to be pretty impressive.
Right. That's the other side of it. That's exactly right. The costs are coming down, so they're going to be better able to actually profit. When gold really does start to take off and enter a decisive new bull market. So it's going to be exciting. I do anticipate making a tidy little sum off gold stocks when that time comes. So I've been preparing now and buying and accumulating. So
yeah, well, hey, the Vancouver Resource Show conference is coming up, and hopefully I'll see you there. Anyway, Jeff, so we find your work over at goldsilver.com. Best place to find you?
Yeah, goldsilver.com, and then you'll see on the homepage there we have what's the tab called? Under resources, and you click there and you'll see the blog there. That's where a lot of my stuff shows up. Lots of good stuff there, and Mike Maloney just released his next episode of Hidden Secrets of Money, and it's about cryptos, so, and how that technology is really developing and moving forward. So he's not buying cryptos right now. He's actually been selling some of his Bitcoin because it's overvalued and buying undervalued gold and silver, but he does recognize that the technology is here to stay, and it's going to develop just like the internet did back in 2000. The price may have went down of the NASDAQ, it crashed, but the technology continued to move forward. He sees a similar setup, these days. So
exactly right. The technology is going to keep moving on, and it's not necessarily going to be in the financial sector where it really reaps its dividends, the blockchain, but for another day. So go check out Jeff's work over at goldsilver.com. And like I said, send us emails. Love getting your emails, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed, it's been pretty active lately, @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon. Hopefully see you in Vancouver.
Absolutely, Carrie. Thanks for having me. We'll talk again soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.